Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello.
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 Hello. Katie and I are, we're actually driving down Madison Avenue on our way to 96th Street to take a right to head over the Tri-Bar Bridge. I'm dropping Katie back to Astoria. We've been podcasting.
Yeah.
Katie's texting, that's why she's not talking.
No, my feckin' roommate is locked out, so I'm just letting her know that I'm in the podcast.
That you're on your way back. That you're in the podcast. You're in it.
I'm in the podcast. Ooh, it's like a The Matrix. Okay,
you're
now
in, you're in the podcast.
Back to my phone on
back
my notes.
Back to focused. Back to being focused.
Oh, so hello everybody.
We're driving back to Astoria. Katie and I have just been recording. We've got a couple in the bag, but right now we're doing an intro to only one of them. I don't want to give away too many of our secrets of what day it actually is.
Dun dun dun.
But we have a great guest coming up in this episode. An actual person, and I guess a porn star, you could say.
Yeah.
We have an actual porn star on the podcast today. Somebody who's done porn.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, Katie, you've gone from having never watched porn to interviewing porn stars.
I know, in the space of very little time.
Quite the journey.
I know. It really is quite a journey. So was the last episode I watched porn?
No, it was two episodes.
Because we had, oh right, who? Oh, I just had a brain.
We had Catherine Henson.
Catherine, Jesus, my brain just shut down there for a second.
We had Catherine Henson, and
so
then,
I had two
and then
weeks.
We had Dr. Shulman.
Yes.
Who we may or may not have just interviewed 5 seconds ago.
Okay.
Now that the secret
taking the magic away. Just
to, well, you know, because I don't want people to think that you're. You know that you're being ditzy. In actual fact, you're having to make some assumptions.
Yes, well, thank you. Sometimes
so
we
interviewed Dr. Shulman and we interviewed Aaliyah.
Aaliyah Janine is our
Aaliyah Janine
retired
yesterday,
porn star.
But she's today's episode.
Yeah, and so in time wise, I had 2 weeks to kind of. So I watched my first porn with you, and then kind of decide if. I haven't spoken about it at all, right?
We haven't. No, we didn't. You know what happened? We interviewed Catherine Henson,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't actually have time. You had to run off and do a show, remember?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And we didn't have time to do like an intro ep for that. So we didn't really have like together chat. And then yesterday, we did Aaliyah, and now we're doing the intro. So this is the first time it's just been me and you chatting since Catherine.
Yeah.
Since Catherine.
And I think like a lot of people message like, oh, and people to look at. But then I forgot who messaged what. And I couldn't. And then so many things happened on my Instagram. And it was a busy week. So I actually didn't get. I just kind of went back to Pornhub, the one that you brought me on.
Oh, so you've done further research in your porn life.
Yeah, I went back to Pornhub. And then I was like looking for girl on girl because I thought, okay, I think that's what I'm into. But then the first one I found was like so bad. It was all like acting, and I guess it was I think it was girl on girl for men because
it, well, most of it is.
Oh, okay. Well, that was my problem. So they were like she was like a boss, and then the girl was like a bad employee, but the acting was really bad. So that's why I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's a you'll find that's a running theme. You're not there for the acting.
No, that was very stressful because like I said, I get turned on by.
You can just click off. Yeah, but you just.
Oh yeah, like I did. I zoomed forward and stuff, but it was all like screaming, and I was like, "This isn't for me." And then I was looking through, I found another one, And again, then I was like, oh, maybe porn isn't for me.
Which is totally fair.
Yeah, but then I went a few days later, I Googled, women-friendly porn. But it was all the links they were showing were ones you have to pay for. And I'm not going to pay for anything yet when I haven't committed to it. So back to Pornhub I went. And then I found one that I liked.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was great, actually. I loved it. It was this one called Sexy Girl Does Porn First Time. And it's with a guy, but what I liked about it was she's just a regular looking girl. She's actually not like, she's like regular boobs and regular bum and just like, you know, she's pretty, but she's not like unrealistic looking. And she,
yeah, there's a sexiness in the reality of it.
Yeah, and she had an interview up top and she was like, yeah, I haven't done this before and this is my first time and I'm kind of excited. And then she was like, I guess we'll just take baby steps and stuff. And it was one of the first ones that came up.
Oh, there's always something, isn't there? So I'm sorry about that, but myself and Katie chatted for like another 10 minutes driving back to Astoria. But it turns out that my SD card finished up, which I only noticed the next day when I went to edit last week's episode. But I didn't realize until now that it finished halfway through our drive back to Astoria, which obviously I didn't notice because I was driving. And I like to be as safe as one can be while chatting on a podcast while driving. So, disappointing, because myself and Katie had a fun chat. But, without further ado, here's our chat with Aaliyah Janine. And it's a great chat. We talk all aspects of the porn industry, and actually a little bit about being an escort. So, strap in. Chat to you after the app. Aaliyah.
Yes.
Not Aaliyah.
Well, it's pronounced Aaliyah. It's actually just easier for most white people to say Aaliyah.
Aaliyah.
Aaliyah, yeah.
Aaliyah. Where does that name come from?
My mom got it from the science fiction book Dune by Frank Herbert.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like Paul's sister, if anyone's familiar with the weird series. David Lynch made a movie.
That's right. Yeah. Like David Sting Bowie.
It was Sting. Yeah, it was horrible. I still own it on VHS. That's how old I am.
I remember coming out, but I actually never watched it.
Yeah, I've only seen it up to one part. I keep falling asleep. Like, I'm not into that kind of sci-fi stuff.
I kept meaning to watch it because I'm a David Lynch fan. But
yeah, me too. But this one was not one of his best things.
Okay, but let's point out the fact that if your parents name you after like a science fiction character,
yeah,
means your parents are probably pretty quirky, right?
My mom, yeah, she was she just retired. She was a registered nurse for 30 years, mostly labor and delivery, some other areas. And my dad is a retired Vietnam vet.
Retired Vietnam. Oh, retired from his job, not from.
Incorrect. Yeah. Well, he couldn't, like, he tried to have jobs. Like, he was a deputy sheriff in Texas for a little while when he got out. He was a truck driver for a little while, but he has PTSD, manic depressant, bipolar, and it also loves drugs. So he actually, like, he is 100% disabled just mentally, just because Vietnam really fucked him up. Because he went in when he was like 17, 18. He went in real young. So.
Wow.
Did he meet your mom before he went in?
No, after. They actually, they met after at school. Because he was going to school for criminal psychology. Because of course he was. And like they had met, my mom was watching her friend's baby while she took a test and this baby wouldn't stop crying. And my dad like just came up. It's like, here, I'll help you. And like the baby was quiet and stuff. He's like, I make good babies if you ever wanted to practice. And then that's how... they started dating.
Like, wow.
Yeah, it's actually kind of sweet how they met, how they broke up. Not so nice.
Oh, so it didn't work out?
No, they were never married or anything like that. Like,
oh, really?
Like most children, I was not planned.
So you were raised by a single mom?
Mom, yeah, I lived with both my parents. I lived with my mom for a while. I lived with some relatives for a while, and then my mom, and then my dad, and then my mom again.
Oh.
I moved around a lot. I went to like 11 different schools and moved like 20. Really? 30 times, yeah, growing up.
Wow.
Just because, like, when I lived with one, like, I lived with my mom up until I was, like, 6, 7, then lived with my dad between, like, 7 till, like, high school, and then high school was with my mom. So, like, they would just move all the time, you know, within those years, they would move different places and stuff.
How did that even come up, that you would live with one till 7? Or six, and then the other.
Well, because my dad was getting married and my mom thought it'd be better to have like a more family atmosphere because like she had a kid, but she forgot that he's a raging drug addict and she was like a super alcoholic and very like physically and mentally abusive. So, but yeah, so it was like very broken kind of thing. But like she kind of had to because her fiance had died in bed next to her from sleep apnea. So she was kind of messed up. Wow. So she needed some time off. Which is understandable. She was young. They had me when they were 24. So,
so sorry. Who died? Did your dad?
My mom's fiance died in bed next to her of sleep apnea.
Really?
Yeah, Jesus. And that really fucked her up because she was a nurse and she's like she could have saved him, you know, but she was sleeping.
So she got a little break.
Yeah. She needed like a mental break. So yeah, I went.
Was it you or your mom that realized that it was not ideal for you to be with the
me.
Drug addict alcoholic combo?
Me, but she's still. She just kind of thought that, like, because she didn't know right away. And, like, because as a kid, like, you don't know, like, you're kind of afraid. And my stepmother would be like, oh, if you say anything, like, I'll hurt you more. And then, like, you don't say things, you know. And the bruises said stuff, though, later.
Oh, so it was physically abusive.
Oh, yeah. No, she was very physically
abusive.
Is
your mom?
No, my stepmom. My parents were actually great. It was my stepmom. Because my dad was a truck driver, so he would be gone most of the week. He would just be home on the weekends.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And did she have kids of her own?
Yeah. She had a son through a previous marriage, and then they had a kid together. So I have a half brother. Well, I had a half brother. He passed away a couple years ago.
God, sorry. There's a lot of tragedy in there.
Yeah, Jesus.
We've
yeah.
been talking for 5 minutes.
I know. I'm like, well, thank you for the therapy session.
We've had a few.
We had you on to talk about the fact that you used to be a porn star. But
yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, now everyone knows why.
If ever there was a backstory to how somebody ends up in porn. You're trying to sell the story of like, you know, some people just make good life decisions. They want to be porn stars.
Yeah, some people just like. Yeah, I actually didn't get into porn until I was 30. So it wasn't like, really? Yeah, I wasn't trying to get back at mommy and daddy. I was actually like, I was dating this dude and like we were going to get married and all sorts of stuff, like the whole nine. And he hit me and tried to throw me down a flight of stairs. So I started doing porn to like get back at him for doing that.
Wow.
All right, but let's just jump back just for a sec. Yeah. Just because we've got a little bit of backstory now. So I just want to.
Can I?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, did your stepmom beat the other kids too? Or
No, it was mostly me and my half-brother. She was very jealous of me because I was my dad's little girl. You know, I was daddy's little girl. Yeah, so it was kind of like this weird jealousy thing. Jeez. And just also being a raging fucking alcoholic. Like her mom was an alcoholic. Her brother was a raging alcoholic. Like. I think he killed someone in a car accident type alcoholic, yeah.
But when you went back, so you went back to your mom.
Did
you achieve some sort of stability or was it always a bit?
Well, no, when I went back, because I was in high school, you know, so I was a teenager, so I was real smart. You know, I knew everything. And I was like, oh, these next 4 years, I'm going to get back at you for making me live in that toxic fucking household. So I was just an animal in high school.
Oh, so you were
I got expelled.
You were a Dr. Phil.
Yeah. Catch me outside, kind of a little bit. Not as bad. Like I still got like somewhat decent grades. Like I did graduate high school barely, but I mean, I went to college and had a 4.0. It's not that I wasn't smart. I just
you're just a, like slightly rebellious teenager.
Yeah,
but nothing too crazy though, huh?
No, not really. I never really got arrested for anything. I did like I got expelled my freshman year because I accidentally started the soccer field on fire.
Oh,
so I just flicked a cigarette, but it happened to be in a pile of dead leaves and fires happened. Yeah. And someone else was actually going to get blamed for it. So I actually churned myself in because I didn't want this other person to get blamed for it.
Oh, that was nice.
I guess. And that's the reason why they actually let me go back to school. I was just suspended for like the last 3 months or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So it was actually, I'm a nice person.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no. I was just curious. I was just curious, you know, if you know, like, what was the rest of the childhood like after that trauma? You know.
Oh yeah, no, I was just kind of an asshole, and definitely like I had attachment issues. I mean, obviously, I still do. Like, you never really get rid of those. You know, you just work through them, recognize them. I have a degree in psychology now. It's just cheaper to go to therapy, I think.
Yeah, what to just do yeah, therapy
just,
on
yeah,
yourself?
Yeah, just get the degree and figure it all out for myself.
Look in the mirror. And be like, you need to be honest with yourself.
Right. Wow, you have a degree in psychology. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I have a degree in police science, an associate's degree in police science. I got that before I started porn, like when I was in my 20s.
So in your 20s, you thought you were just going to get into like criminal psychology?
Yeah, like I was kind of following in my father's footsteps that way. I was really into forensic science. Like I was I'm a big science nerd. And my mom being a nurse, like I tried, like I was a nursing assistant for a while when I was 18. And I realized, like, I like all the medical shit. I just don't like people. Like when I had to work, because like they always gave me like to prepare that, like if someone died, like you have to prepare the body for like the family, you know, to pay their respects, say their goodbyes or whatever before they ship it off to the morgue or whatever the fuck they do with it. And like I didn't have a problem doing that. Like I hated having to like give old people baths and stuff like that. I'm like, I'll deal with the dead bodies instead. I don't know, it's a morbid thing, I guess.
So you wanted to be a criminal psych, and then it turned out not the career for you.
Yeah, well, because I did like a lot of training. Like I was very good at it. I was certified for law enforcement in the state of Wisconsin, and I'm like, I had my pride investigators.
Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's where I'm originally from, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh.
If that explains anything.
That's, whatchamacallit territory in terms
Dahmer.
Of... Well, oh. Dahmer, but also wasn't what's his face? All the stuff that went. God, how can I forget? I was so obsessed with this bloody Netflix documentary. And
Making a Murderer. Yeah,
I mean, how I just drew a blank on that.
That was up in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Like, because they owned a towing company, so like I have relatives up in that area. Like, we would drive past their place and stuff like that. Like, I've actually encountered Jeffrey Dahmer before and stuff like
really?
That.
Oh, really? The serial killer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ate people.
Oh, he ate people.
Yeah, he's the one who ate people.
He had people in his fridge and everything.
Yeah, and he had like those big 50-gallon drums and.
I have food in my fridge.
I know. I have nail polish and batteries. That's
like, so how long did you? So you worked for a while in that career?
Yeah. I was an armored car driver for a while. I did like security. I was a private investigator for a while. I just realized that when I really like doing drugs, like pot, like I'm a big pot smoker and stuff like that. And I also just don't like getting shot at. That's a thing that will have to happen if you're in that field. I don't mind shooting at other people. Like that's fun. But yeah, getting shot at.
So that was the end of that.
Yeah.
So what did you do after that?
I went back to stripping.
Oh, so you had already been a stripper?
Yeah, I was a stripper. That's how I paid for like the last semester of that degree. Yeah, I was a stripper. I've always wanted to be a dancer. Like dancing was like always one of my favorite things to do. And how I got into porn was to get like credits for feature dancing. Because, you know, you have the strippers that like get paid, like the porn stars that go to clubs and stuff like that. And with the boom of the internet, because it was like around 2008, 2009, especially like internet porn, which kind of started around 2007, or a little bit before, like tube sites and stuff like that, like you had to do a little bit more than just nude modeling if you wanted to like get paid feature gigs and stuff like that.
All right. So it was kind of like being on a good podcast, being good porn.
Correct.
And then you get more money when you go to dance.
Correct. Yeah.
Wait, I'm a bit lost now. I'm confused. So wait,
okay,
you're talking about dancing and you're talking about internet porn. Wait, so you danced in the porn?
No. She's saying that she needed to do some porn to get better credits for when she danced live.
For more credits, yeah.
So in other words, like the way that you would want to do
like comedy,
the Tonight
like,
Show,
yeah,
so that you would get more credits to get more gigs.
I understand. So being in porn helped your dancing, your exotic dancing career. See, when you said dancing, I thought you were talking about modern dancing or something for a second. Okay.
No, she's talking about stripping.
Yeah, stripping.
Exotic dancing.
So then they'd be like, she's in all those porn.
Yeah.
Angels.
Angels.
Right? In Ireland, yeah.
I remember my ex-boyfriend went to that while I was with him. I was like, okay.
So originally, you were really just trying to up your profile for dancing.
Yeah. And
now, how do you go about doing that?
Well, a girl that I danced with, she's like, oh, it was the
Where were you dancing? Sorry.
I've danced all over the country. Like, I traveled. I did circuits and stuff like that. This was in Florida. I was with the Score Group. They're a big boobed magazine. Like, they have, like, that specific niche down. And she said that you could do, like, three solo masturbation videos or whatever. They pay like $500 a piece and they fly you down to Miami and like all this stuff. I was like, all right, let's try it. And like, I talked to my family about it because I'm related to, you know, mostly men. So you had to let them know because that'd be weird not to. And I did that. And then that was kind of weird because like, you don't really masturbate in front of other people. Like, it's kind of like a solo thing.
So this was your first shoot.
Yeah. And it was very awkward because like, it was very stereotypical. Like, it was like this Cuban guy with like long, greasy, kind of curly hair. And he was wearing like a flowered shirt with like the big thick gold chains. It was very like 70s porno kind of thing. And I was just like, of course I would get this guy.
What year was it?
It was in Miami.
And what year?
Oh, this was 2009.
Okay, so it's not that long ago.
What type of place? Like, was it?
Oh, it's a huge. They have a huge warehouse, like where they shoot and stuff like that. Sometimes, like they'll go off to different locations and stuff. But when I went there, they were making like this movie. It was called Mamazon, and they're like, "Oh, you'd be perfect for it." And they like kind of broke down like how much money I could make, and I'm like, "All right, well, let me talk to my." Into my family again, like my uncle mostly. I'm like, well, what do you think about this? So like came up with a price. I'm like, if anything, like I'm just going to do this one hardcore movie. Because I was thinking, because a lot of girls will be like, oh, if I do girl porn, it's not like real porn. It's like, you're still fucking somebody on film. But with this one, it was like boy, girl. So it was a dude. I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. It's a good movie. Like it will be fun. And then I realized that I really liked it and it was super fun. So I just kind of kept doing it. And then the dancing thing kind of had to stop because I have really bad knees from high school, from volleyball and track and shit like that. So.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
You sure? Okay. So the first one is just a masturbation and he's watching you. You don't
Yeah, well, he's filming. Well, the thing was, is that he was trying to like help me, you know, he'd be like, oh, do this. And that was fucking me up even more. I'm like, dude, I think I know what I'm doing. Like, this is kind of my thing. Yeah. But yeah, it was weird. And I don't like using, like I like vibrators and stuff, but these were just like dildos and they're just like, they're not as fun for me. You know what I mean?
No. So,
oh, you had to use what they were providing?
Yeah. Like they give you like brand new ones. You get to pick them out or whatever. They're like, oh, no vibrators because of the noise or whatever.
Right.
Depending, like certain companies are very strict on what they do and what they don't do. Like this one, it's either you have to have like a full on bush or completely shaved. Like you can't have anything in between and stuff like that. Cause I had like a little patch. They're like, yeah, you're going to have to get rid of that.
So you did your three videos before the Mamazon.
Yeah.
Offer.
Yeah. That it was about like 2-3 weeks after.
You were still in Miami.
Well, I was living in Florida. I had moved to Florida. I was up in Clearwater.
All right.
Yeah. So I just drove down.
So it wasn't as much of like an incidentally. It was basically saying, hey, there's another offer.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. And there's like a couple other like little scenes for the magazines and stuff like that. So yeah, I had all of the credits that I needed.
And you were completely comfortable walking onto this because it's one thing masturbating for the camera.
Yeah. The hardcore sex was actually way easier. Just
really?
Because someone else was there with you. Yeah. And,
but like, how does it, I've never been in a porn set. What's the vibe when you...
So this porn set, we were actually kind of like in this mini zoo area because we're supposed to be in the jungle. Like I'm a tribe member of this big titty tribe and we have this stone that's supposed to make our boobs bigger and these explorers want this stone to bring it back to the United States so everyone can have big boobs. Whatever. It's a wonderful plot line. And it's so much fun. But so there's just like they have all these animals in different cages and stuff like that, tropical animals. And my sex scene was next to some birds. And so for a while, we kind of had to stop. Like, this actually took a lot longer than it should have because the birds started, like, mimicking my sounds.
Like the birds were listening to your moaning?
Yeah, and then they would start mimicking the moaning, so they had to, like, keep stopping. Then, like, we'll be able to film for a couple minutes, then they would do it again. Like, some of it was actually just softcore where it wasn't even penetration just because we needed some action scenes because of these fucking birds wouldn't shut up. It was funny.
Did you talk to the guy in advance?
Yeah. We had talked a little bit. There's like, oh, this is her first movie. I'm like, yeah, but I've had sex before. The only thing that was weird was that because this was, because like I started talking like how girls like talk in porn. Like, you know, you do some research and stuff like that. So I did that. And then they're like,
what do you mean? Like, like
dirty talk and stuff like that. Cause like there's the stuff I say, I'm like, I don't think that's sexy enough for porn. You know what I mean? And then I'm like, oh, it is. I just need to say it more aggressively kind of thing. But with this was the first time I've ever had sex with a man. So like, I was not supposed to know what I was saying. So I'm
character enjoying it too much.
Yeah. I was like, all right, well, this sucks a little bit.
Wow.
So what were you supposed, what was your character? How was your character supposed to be enjoying it? Like, oh my God, this is.
Yeah. Well no, it was like this new thing. I was very interested. Like, cause like first, like we did like a blowjob scene and like I was playing with this dick and I just look at it. I'm like, oh, do I bite it? Thing. Yeah. Which was very funny.
Well, that's good. You get to do a bit of acting.
Yeah. It was actually like lot of my improv is really good just because a lot of porn setups is just like they give you like a base like storyline. Like, yeah, they have scripts and stuff like that for some stuff. But for the most part, like you're improv-ing.
And you were completely comfortable just being naked with this whole crew.
Yeah.
And this guy.
Yeah, well, because I was a stripper for so long, like being naked isn't a problem for me.
And then suddenly just starting to have sex, it was just like, no big deal.
Did you enjoy the sex?
Yeah, not all of the time. Like sometimes it was just like, oh, I have to work today and I don't want to work today. Yeah, but like that's the reason why I did it. Wow. Like if I didn't really like it, I wouldn't have really done it. Like I got to explore and like do things that like I wouldn't really be able to do in my personal life because like there's just a level of trust, you know, especially with like BDSM. Like I've done some of that stuff, which is super fun. But like you want to be with someone that knows what they're doing and like that you could trust and stuff like that. So
you always worked with like this one company?
No, I worked with all of them. I worked with a bunch of them.
So you did it for quite a while?
Yeah, I did. Well, only about 4 years. I made like around 150 movies, like different
scenes
and stuff like that. Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot more people. That's like 150 people.
No, I mean a lot. a lot of it was with a lot of the same people.
Oh, that's great, because then you can build up a bit of a rapport.
Yeah, there's certain people that like you could be cool with, but like there is no like sexual vibe, if that makes sense. So it's like people that I have a good sexual vibe with. And also just because like of my size, because I'm tall and stuff like that, like trying to stick with me with like shorter guys, like they want to do that for like the mom stepson type porn and stuff like that. But I feel bad for those dudes because like sometimes like they'll have to like stand on an apple box like if they have me bent over.
Yeah, doggy's tough when you're shorter than the girl.
Yeah, right? Especially on a desk and stuff like that. Yeah, there's been times when like I've just had bruises in weird places just because I have to like position myself awkwardly.
So I mean, was there any like particularly funny moments from your porn career that stand out?
I mean, sex in general is pretty fucking hilarious. So when you add like technical stuff like a director and lighting guy, it's hysterical.
Well, like what are some of the classic things that happen? That unexpected.
Well, sometimes like pop shots, as we call them, when a guy comes, depending on where they are, like the camera guy has to get it because that's the money shot. Like that is, if there's no cum shot, the movie's done. And they have to refilm because there's no way to really fake that. So there's been a couple of times when, like, if it's like a they come on my boobs, like camera, they may have like two camera guys at different angles, and like the guy actually comes like on the camera guy or something like that, and they can't move, you know. So they have to sit. There was one day the dude was wearing glasses and just like dripping down his glasses, and you can just see
hold the shot
how fucking mad he is, and we're trying not to laugh, obviously, you know, because this is the end. We're trying to do our jobs. Yeah, so there was a lot of that had happened. And then just like weird shit, sometimes girls would freak out on set, like especially newer girls if they were on drugs or something like that. That's why a lot of companies do like intro and exit interviews, be like, are you on drugs, are you here, you know, against your will, like all of that stuff, because they've had to like kick some girls out. It's very dramatic.
And is there any like disappointing cum shots where it just kind of like falls out, or there is a trick to getting a good?
Well, that's all the guys. Like they.
No, I know. I'm just like curious because they always seem to like really shoot it.
Yeah, Peter North.
I've never been able to shoot with such.
Peter North is he's kind of the cum shot king when it comes to that. Like he has a very.
He's been
specific,
going forever, right?
This guy.
I remember him from the Spice days.
Yeah, he's still around too.
Really? He's got to be in his 60s.
Oh yeah, he's still fucking.
Amazing.
Still going.
What about TT Boy? Is he still going?
That I don't know. Like, because I've been retired for like 7 years.
I just remember these names from when I was a teenager watching Spice. But Peter North was around.
Yeah, Peter North is still around. Ron Jeremy. I don't.
You never dealt with him, did you, Ron Jeremy?
Yeah.
Oh, you did a scene with him?
Yeah.
Wow. He was around from the Spice days.
He's been around
huge
forever.
Cock.
Ginormous. I don't think he's seen it since, you know, Spice days.
You mean because he's so fat?
He's so big.
You don't know who Ron Jeremy is?
Was Spice could you view it in Ireland?
No, Spice was the thing I was telling you about
when your
on
dad
the podcast.
Was
yeah.
I remember.
It was essentially hardcore porn without the penetration shots.
Yeah,
really.
It was softcore stuff. I've shot a bunch of stuff like that. It's normally like on Cinemax, like late at night and stuff like
that. Type of stuff.
Yeah, I've shot a couple of those, and like it was with other porn stars. And I'm like, this is just weird. Like, because you think about mainstream actors, like they don't have sex, but you think and it looks so hot, and I'm just like, how are you not like totally turned on and like want to have sex. You know, I guess like there's rumors like in Eyes Wide Shut, Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise, they actually were fucking because they were married at the time. Like they have those things where be like, oh, maybe they really were having sex. Yeah. So that's always like that little.
Yeah, I was watching a sex scene the other night and I was like, they're definitely fucking. There's no way.
Oh, I don't remember the name of the movie, but there's one with like Angelina Jolie and Antonio Banderas and it's fucking hot. I think it's like from the 90s or whatever. I'm like, there is no way he is not inside her. Like there is just no, how is he not? How do they do that? Yeah, that's what I think.
Good at acting.
Good at acting. Yeah. I mean, for me, I was just like, this is boring. But like I get it, I'm like I'm acting. Yeah.
So for you, porn was like a totally.
It was fun.
Positive experience.
Yeah, I mean, there was like some shitty things. Like I've been ripped off before, you know, by companies like didn't get paid and stuff like that. I've had obviously tube sites. They just keep stealing content from like everybody and everything. And so that was one of the main reasons why I got out. Was just like people weren't paying for it. Although now I went into comedy, I'm like I actually don't get paid for this either. Really.
But were you making money?
Yeah, I made a decent amount. Like, you make a lot of money, like, off of merchandise and like, public appearances. Like, a lot of girls travel, escorting and stuff like that. There's all webcamming. I made a lot of money webcamming.
Oh, you did webcams?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done it all.
And just, what is webcamming?
It's where you're, like, at home. I call it, like, a strip club at home kind of thing because, like, the way that you deal with guys is very similar. Like, they come into, like, your chat room or whatever, and then, like, they can request, like, a private time or whatever, and you get more money for that, and then like you masturbate sometimes, you just talk to him. I had one dude just wanted to watch me sleep.
But when when you're doing weird. The cam, mm-hmm. and a guy says do this, do you say give me more money?
Well, yeah, you flirt a little bit, like you tease them like you would, like a stripper would try to get a guy to like get a champagne room, yes. or a dance or whatever. It'd be like, oh, what do you want me to do this? I could do that. Yeah, they ask because some dudes are very specific. Some dudes just like, I just want to stare at your feet for 10 minutes. And I'm like, cool. Like that's, yeah, there's some guys actually it's just more like they're lonely. You know, they want just someone to talk to, some attention from a pretty girl.
And then when you're in the porn game, mm-hmm. do you have to get tested like all the time?
Constantly. Yeah, I actually have like a little scar like a heroin addict.
From the amount of tests?
From the amount of times I got tested, yeah. Yeah, and especially like there's a bunch of different testing facilities and there was some like HIV scares and stuff like that before they really like found it. Like they don't really necessarily have a cure, but they have PrEP now, which yes. people could take that will prevent it. And they did actually have cured a couple people of HIV or were like Charlie Sheen, like it's undetectable. They call it undetectable or whatever. But there's other stuff like gonorrhea and syphilis and, you know, all the fun ones, herpes, crabs. Never any crabs, no herpes, thank God. I had gonorrhea twice. And
while working in porn?
Yeah.
Did you know who gave it to you?
Yeah. Happens? Well, because like I would have a list and like you write it down because you have to, especially because if you're worried about an HIV thing, like they have like a protocol that like you need to go through, right? Who did you work with? What days? Who did they work with? So they go like through an umbrella, basically, kind of thing. So yeah, so once that, then you call that person, be like, hey, you got me this. If you haven't been tested yet, do that. Like one dude, we had worked together. And then the very next day he called me. He's like, oh, I got tested after our scene. He's like, and I have chlamydia. He's like, I don't know if I gave it to you, but I probably did. So just go get the drugs for
it.
Forget
the pill.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a series of pills for like 5 days, depending on like what it is. Sometimes it's just a shot in the ass.
Yeah, gonorrhea is the shot.
Yeah, there's different.
What
ones.
Does gonorrhea do to you?
It kind of. Have you ever had a yeast infection?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like kind of like a creamy liquid. At first, I didn't know what it was. I actually thought it was a yeast infection, and then I was like, I looked at the consistency of it. I was like, oh no, this is not. Because like I got the Diflucan or whatever the fuck that shit is, the pill for the yeast infection. I'm like, oh no, this is still around. So I went, because like I wasn't working, like I had did a bunch of scenes in the beginning of the month, and then like I was just going to wait to get tested like later until I had my other scenes. And then, yeah, so I had to go in, I got tested and got that, and it was like 5 days, just a series of some pills and a shot. This one doctor, he loved to give us Z-Pak shots, which isn't necessarily great because they're just so filled up with antibiotics and penicillin. Your body will actually like start to build like an immune to it, like a resistance.
So this is occupational hazard, a little bit of STD action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Not, you weren't too concerned about that though.
Oh, well, the first time, the first one. Yeah, no, I cried. I called my mom because I was like, I was such a whore even before. I was like, I got my first STD. And she's like, well, these are your work hazards now. He's like, you were getting shot with bullets or, you know, you may have been shot with that. Now you're getting shot with cum. So pay attention, little girl.
And how did your mom feel about you doing porn?
Well, she was just like, she was kind of surprised. Like they were like somewhat surprised, but at the same time, she's like, well, be safe, you know, if this is what you want to do, do it. Like, I can't tell you not to. So, yeah.
And I guess you were in your 30s, you said, so.
Yeah, I'm like, I was of somewhat a decent age to be like, yeah, no, I'm doing this. I mean, it was out of spite, but like, I am a petty bitch. So I did win that breakup, by the way. I think I won that breakup.
All right, so that, yeah, so I jumped off of that. So
yeah, I won that breakup.
So you really did do it out of spite?
Yeah. What? I mean, well, it was also like a career thing too, but I'm like, cause he was very controlling. Like he was one of those, like controlled what I wore, like my makeup, like who my friends were and stuff like that. And the reason why we had, the reason why he hit me and tried to throw me down a flight of stairs is cause he found my sex list from like high school. And he like, he thought that
why
it
did
was
you make a sex list?
Cause it was fucking high school. Like boys that it wasn't even just sex. It's like boys that I made out with, you know, stuff like that. Just whatever, like kid shit basically. And it had the dates and everything on it, but he's like, you're a whore. It was the first time I was ever called a whore, and I was like, you motherfucker. Yeah.
You think so, I'm a whore now? Check this out.
Yeah, yeah. I did actually end up dating his favorite director, which
But he
was,
threw you down the stairs.
Tried to. He tried to.
You didn't call, you didn't think, like, I'll call the police on this guy?
He's related to half of the police department.
Oh, right. Okay.
Wow. He was, yeah. His,
but so you broke up with him and you went straight to porn?
No, I mean, it was a couple years after that. Like, we had broke up for a year and then went back out together for another 3 years. Geez. It was very toxic. I have very toxic relationships, which is why I just tend to be single most of the time.
So now, within the... So, obviously, there's a lot of documentaries lately about the porn industry.
Yeah.
And big debate within the feminist community, big sort of split in the feminist community about whether it's positive or not.
Yeah.
Like... You've been in the industry. What, like, what positions do you take when these
issues
come up?
Well, when people try to, especially females, when they try to define what feminism is, then they're just, like, pigeonholing themselves. Because it's, like, it is for whatever that one person is. Like, if Katie wants to wear a fucking, like, mask, you know, and be covered up, and that's her idea of feminism, then that's the way she thinks. If I want to walk around showing my titties, that's my idea of being a feminist. Then that's my idea, and I'm not going to shit on her, and she shouldn't shit on me kind of thing. Just like how everything should be in the world.
Yeah, but you know, I guess you were in the industry, so yeah. How much of the exploitation... did you see?
Well,
that certainly gets put out there as one of the issues about porn.
Well, the thing, like all the free, because a lot of people, they say that's free, but it's not free. It's actually stolen. It's pirated porn. Anything that you are quote unquote watching for free, it's not free. Like it was stolen. So that's like, if anything, that's the exploitation. When it comes with the females in the street, one, we make more money than the men. There is literally the only industry where we do make more money than men. We have control over who we work with, our own image, how we want to present ourselves. Like no one else has control over that. So that's actually like, it's better than other like types of careers where like the woman doesn't really have that type of control over like everything. So, cause you're your own brand, you know, unless like get hired as like a contract star with like Wicked or something like that, then you have to, you know, follow suit with what they go through. But yeah. I never felt, the only time, like, if I got ripped off, like, I felt exploited, yes. Obviously. But, no, if anything, like, it was empowering to me. Like, it taught me a lot, like, a lot more than unfortunately, what kids, especially my age, like, learned about sex. I was also Catholic. Like, I was raised Catholic. So, you know, anal was the only way to really have sex. Otherwise, God will hate you.
No, but, so what about, like, people that say that, you know, porn is clearly sort of driven towards male, you know, like male pleasure.
Yeah. Well, they have feminist porn and stuff like that. Well, that's also like, cause women are taught differently about sex. Like they're supposed to be ashamed while men have always been praised for doing it. So of course women are not really going to be turned on by certain things, but they have porn specifically for women. And like, I've actually, like, a lot of my fans were like younger couples, like in their 20s, like men and women, which I thought was actually really cool.
So you don't buy into this thought that like a lot of like young men, obviously access to porn from a young age, that they're sort of they're getting a false representation of the...
Oh, no, they definitely do not need to be watching porn of that. It can fuck them up. Because in school for psychology, that was one of the things that, like, I had researched. That's, like, I want to get my PhD in, like, sex education and stuff like that. Like, because, like, the average age of a kid that watches porn is around 8 years old, like, Jesus. 8 to 10. And that is really young. And it can give them, like, an obscured view of how to treat women, especially if they're... Because when you're a kid, you're going to watch the weirdest shit. Like, you're not just going to go... Because you don't know what the fuck you like, because you're 8. You barely even know what your fucking dick is, kind of thing. So when you go and pick a porn, like, you're going to watch, like, the gangbangs and all this weird shit and just automatically assume that that's normal. What women like or how to speak to women, and then they end up learning the hard way. And I think that's how incels are born.
Yeah, but that's a quick jump. I mean, on a serious note, because I know right now it's very anecdotal, right? There's no hardcore science to back up how it's affecting young men.
Yeah, they haven't really done, like, I mean, they have some studies out there, but they're not published. Like, you actually have to go and search for them, dig for them. But at the same time, like, there's only like one or two. And sometimes a lot of the research is also biased depending on who's doing the research. Because a lot of it is always normally negatively instead of how it could also be positive. It's like anything. It's like any drug, anything. Good in moderation. Yes. Kind of thing. Like, you don't want to overdo it. You can help out every once in a while, but don't be a porn addict.
Now, do you think the porn industry should be taking on any responsibility for the type of porn that they're putting out?
No, because that's part of free speech.
There should be, like, something, though. You know, like, you can't drink at a bar until you're 18 and you show your ID. Like, there should be something, I don't know. Like, I wish there was, like, a pop-up and you had
to show. Well, there is. Oh, yeah, but people, like, fucking kids are way smarter when it comes to the computers. They know how to, like, fix it.
Are you 18?
Oh, yeah. I know, but I wish there was some way that they had to prove it. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, it used to be
like
credit cards, but now you don't need credit cards.
Yeah. There's different ways to do that. Well, a lot of, I know, like, there's a bunch of directors that, like, they don't work with girls who are under 18. Like, they only work with girls that are, like, 21 and over. Because there is that, there have been a lot of girls, like, that Hot Girls Wanted thing. Like, it wasn't wrong in the way that how girls get started. And some girls make it and some girls don't. And some girls feel like they were exploited, even though, like, they knew what they were getting into. But they're also 18, so their brains aren't even fully developed yet. They have no fucking idea what they're doing. And so, yeah, like, there's a good example, Bell Knox. Like, she was the Stanford. She was the girl that went to Stanford College. Like, she was in Stanford, and she started paying for school with porn. And, like, some of the first scenes that she did, because her agent fucking sucked, was, like, all this crazy, like, hardcore BDSM stuff. And, like, you don't do that to an 18-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, she ended up getting really big. Like, she was on The View and stuff like that. She quit doing porn, like, I think she only did it for, like, a year or something like that. She's in law school now and stuff like that. And she's actually doing pretty well now. But she wasn't one of those people. She just quit. Like, she didn't, like, shit on the industry, because a lot of girls will, like, go and shit on the industry and try to blame the industry for their shitty mistakes,
right?
And for them being dumb. Well, you should have waited until you knew a little bit more. I mean, it's like, because people will exploit anyone in any industry, finance especially, you know. This people just think of it as like more morally wrong because sex is involved. Mm-hmm. And so, because sex, people still think sex is like a still Puritan, like holy, like matrimonious kind of thing, instead of just being an animalistic, because we're animals and it's just something that we do.
And you don't think the industry should take any responsibility?
Well, like I said, like, maybe have, like, age restrictions on like, girls. Yes. or whatever. And, like, I mean, like I said, they do the intro, exit interviews. But, I mean, legally, they do everything up to par. So it's really kind
of... So it's quite regulated, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Oh, yeah, very much so.
Which I'm going to talk to you about in a minute. But the last question I want to ask while we're talking about this. If you were to say to the average, like, young man who's got a large majority of his sex education from porn... What? Just no. This is just like this is more like a fun thing. This is more like a comedy setup. If you were to say, like, one to three things that you've learned from porn that are not going to be work out well in reality, what would you think they would be?
Women normally don't like to get cum in their eyes.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I was going to say, yeah, cumming on the face is not.
I mean, thinking, so, like, yeah. I don't mind it. Like swallowing has always just been easier to be honest. It's just less cleanup.
Yes. There's some people I've noticed say that on a practical level, although I can't imagine why anybody would want it.
Fingering is not necessarily a thing that you do.
What do you mean?
Guys are just so bad. Girls are way better at fingering because they know what they're doing. A lot of guys just don't know what they're doing. Also, wash your hands before you do it.
But you think that's from porn? That's just bad practice in general.
Yeah, that's just bad.
I think that's just life experience.
Yeah. But they've been fingering since they were young. They should be better at fingering.
No. I know. What I mean is it's not directly related to what they've learned from porn.
Oh,
it's
true.
Guys have been bad at fingering since the dawn of fingering.
Yes.
Whenever that was.
Oh, some cum shots are not real. Like, I've done this scene, it's called Cum Blast City, and it's where we take a bicycle air pump and this tube and some pina colada mix, and what we do is that we put the tube through the guy's butt crack and then up through the up, and then I have to hold on to it, so right before, because he does actually come as well, but when he does come, someone else pushes the air pump, and so that way it's just like
wow.
Because I actually had people think that dude really came that much.
I would love pina colada sprayed in my face.
You know, it was nice. Better than like cum. It's like a little sweet and salty.
Do you
know?
Like pina colada?
I can have a pina colada later. I'll be thinking of you and sperm.
Just covered in it. Oh God, it's great.
I'm still thinking. I'm like, not to go back to it, but I'm still thinking about that director who had the glasses on and thinking how lucky he was. He had glasses on.
Yeah, it's like a safety hazard.
I just imagine all these people.
Cameraman, right?
You need to wear goggles. Maybe like, well, for a while, like when they were trying to like force condoms in the porn, like they were going to have people wear hazmat suits and stuff like that, like they do, like if they were at a hospital and stuff like that.
It's like that episode, or not the episode, that scene in E.T. with all the hazmat, except for with sex.
Yeah. Oh, no, that they were not happy about that. Everyone's like, you get the fuck out of here with that. The other one, not at all assholes gape, I guess it could probably be another
not all
one.
Assholes gape.
Correct.
What does that mean?
So gaping is a thing, and it could also be done with your vagina or your butt, but it's just where your asshole stretch out, because unlike the vagina, the muscles in your ass don't go back to the size, so like you get actually like blow out your asshole. So some girls
for
actually,
life.
Yeah, some girls actually have colostomy bags and stuff like that from too much anal.
Oh really?
My God.
So that is a real thing.
That is a real thing.
I didn't know that was real.
Yeah.
So you could put that down as one big negative about being involved in the porn industry.
I mean, because I know some girls actually prefer anal sex over vaginal sex. So it's just like part of what they do, you know?
Jesus.
But they can end up with a gaping asshole.
Yes, correct.
Jesus Christ. And how... Like,
you're just so cute. You're just sitting there like, oh my, your facial expressions are amazing.
And did you do a lot of anal in the porn?
I've done anal in the porn. Yeah, I like anal sex. Like, I like fucking in general. Yeah,
I guess if you just like...
It wasn't like too much gaping for me though. I'm like, yeah, we're not doing that.
Wait, so how would they get it so that it ends up gaping? Like, that's just maybe like really...
Well, it's like stretching, like, because they have different gauges of butt plugs, you know, like different gauges for like your ears or piercings, or just different gauges for
butt
plugs.
Oh, so they're just
doing
too big.
Stretch it out. Yeah,
yeah, so if they're just having normal anal, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah, every once in a while, it's all right.
It's more of a porn problem rather than a... Every now and then, anal problem.
Correct, yeah. Like, you're not having that type of sex. Like, it's not, like, real sex is not the same as porn sex. And, like, some guys have actually asked me for that. I'm like, you can't handle that. Yeah. Like, it's not.
You can't handle a plug.
You can't do that. Well, also, because, like, there's just so much stopping and starting. And, like, because, I mean, it takes, like, a good 6 to 8 hours to film, because you have to do still pictures, and then you have video, and you have to change lighting, and then there's different positions. So, like, I'm like, can you keep your dick hard for 8 hours? Because otherwise, no, we're not doing it.
Next time a guy asks you for porn sex, just be like, okay, and then start making pina colada.
So six to eight hours for an average?
Sometimes, yeah, for like an average sex scene.
Jesus, so they have to go soft and go hard again, go soft.
Well, a lot of times, like...
What about you with the wetness?
Surely they're taking Viagra's nowadays.
Well, that lube is... lube could be your friend. But also, like, it depends, like, the law that, like I said, a lot of the guys that I worked with, like, they'll eat my... Like, off camera, like, just eat my pussy to help, like, help with lubrication.
Jesus.
And, like, there's some dudes that, like, will have sex, like, off camera just because we like fucking.
Does this not ruin regular sex for you though? Like, if you're fucking 8 hours a day, you probably just want to go home and never look at a penis that night. Like, how did it affect?
Sometimes, like, I didn't like Like if I had a scene, like because I was dating a director, like we couldn't fuck before we had a scene. Like especially him because he needed his cum shot, basically, kind of thing for me to be like, yeah, all right, we'll just wait until tomorrow. Yeah, it was like I've done like a couple scenes in one day. Like one was a blowjob scene though, so it wasn't like actual penetration. But yeah, no, it could be exhausting. Like now, like regular sex is it's fine, but like I am very particular. Like I have to be very picky about who I sleep with.
Yeah, and as well, you probably have a higher, maybe, your sexual partners now have to be able to keep up with you.
Yeah, that's also another thing. Because I'm 40, so like I'm kind of in my sexual prime now more peak. Than when I was in my 30s. Yeah, like I broke.
But how do you deal with all these pedestrian cocks? You're literally in the professional cock business. It's now just, suddenly you're down to these amateur penises.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just giving it away for free too, which is weird because I have all these special skills and talents. Just giving it away. It's fine. I'm fine.
And what about, you know, like urban, well, not urban myths, but like fluffers and all these things that you hear about?
No, they're bullshit, not. Right? Like back in the day, yeah, like we used to have like makeup artists and craft services and like a real movie set. But then people stopped paying for their porn. And now, yeah, I mean, some companies still have that kind of stuff, but not a lot.
Do you think, sorry, Des, I'm being a bit completely ignorant. I should have maybe Googled this before, but the exploitation of porn, are people worried that there's like girls that are forced into doing porn?
Yeah. Like they automatically always think that any type of like woman in any type of sex work is like forced into it or like.
So do you think if people started paying for it, then that would
help it would help a little bit. But no, that's never going to change the opinion of that. Because even with women that are getting paid, they're like, you're still exploited. It's like, I make $500,000 a year. How am I being exploited?
Is there women though that are kind of forced into it or something from like a different?
No,
you haven't experienced that.
I mean, no, I haven't experienced that. But again, I also went in when I was 30 and like smarter ish.
Yeah, but also some people argue that it's like porn is violence against women.
I mean, they have had some violent scenes, but that's also like it's acting. It's not real violence. That's the thing. Because I have a great joke about how a lot of times people have a really hard time disassociating the real person from what they're watching in TV. And even with mainstream stuff, it's the exact same thing. People like they see that and they build these relationships with them. And like, because I've had people like in my DMs still where there's like these dudes talking like they know me, like we're friends. It's like you just... like you've built this relationship with me online and that's not who I really am. That's not the real person. Because people are always very surprised when I'm kind of a cunt to them. And I'm like, I don't fucking know you. Dude, like, why are you surprised by that? So, yeah, they don't like that. I lose a lot of fans, to be honest.
But you're getting out of that anyway, right?
Oh, I've been out of porn for 7 years.
So I noticed online that you, but I couldn't see what your opinion was, but you had a strong opinion about the condom law.
Oh, yeah. Measure B. Yeah. We
Measure
talked about
B.
That. Yeah.
What is that?
It's done and gone. Like, it didn't pass. The AIDS Healthcare Foundation, Michael Weinstein, I want to say. This is, like, going back, like, 7, 8 years, so it's a little bit hard for me to remember. But they were trying to push this condom law where porn performers had to wear protection in movies, but he was taking away our right to control our own bodies. Because there's some companies like Wicked is a condom only company, and so like if you want to work for Wicked, you're going to be using a condom. But a lot of times it's choice. Like if you want to wear a condom, you can absolutely, like there's some scenes I wear condoms and some that you don't. Like it's up to the performer. So they were trying to take away our right to control our own bodies. And that was like the major thing for a lot of people. It's very similar to like the abortion thing. It's like, it's the woman's right to fucking choose. It's her body. So it's like, it's our choice if we want to or not, kind of thing. So yeah, that, they just wasted millions of dollars and they were very, just like, oh, they're like, oh, it's just HIV is breaking out constantly. It wasn't. It's not. There was a contraction. Three people got it. But it was a crossover performer. It was a male performer who also was doing gay for pay. So he was just doing like gay scenes for money. That's called gay for pay. But he was also doing gay escorting and he wasn't wearing protection during that. And then he gave it to his girlfriend. And then to another. So it was like, but they didn't want to talk about how he fucked up, basically, and was escorting without using protection and then went into porn. And, like, you know, like, there's a trust thing. That's why, like, people have, like, lists of people who they work with and people that they won't work with, kind of thing. So
I know, but how do you
how do you know if more people aren't doing what this guy did? That's the problem.
And that, yeah, and that's the little conundrum.
And why, just out of curiosity, why wouldn't you want to use a condom? Do you feel like...
Well, I mean, especially the type of sex that we have, like, I've tried, and, like, they'll rip, and, like, it's actually be kind of painful for a female, especially, you know, because we're innie, so, like, a lot of that, like, friction and stuff can actually, like, harm you, like, you could get yeast infections or urinary tract infections, tearing and stuff like
from
that.
From condoms?
Yeah. But the have you...
Well, when you're fucking for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. See, I guess that's the other side.
And, like, especially, like, latex condoms, like, they tend to, like, absorb any, like... Yeah, moisture that you have, yeah.
So. And then some people might have an allergy to. A lot of women, I guess.
Yeah,
have an
yeah. I can't use latex condoms. I use. I like the lamb ones. Let's get some dead lamb on there.
Wow.
But do you feel like at least the presence of some porn with condoms is not a bad thing to have out there, just to remind people that?
Well, see,
if
that's
you're having
the thing
casual
too,
sex, if, condoms yeah. are positive.
Oh yeah, but at the same time, like, do you like look at movies for gun safety?
Oh no, I mean, I absolutely get it, but time, in a society where porn is ubiquitous,
yeah,
there does, I think, to a certain degree, become this expectation that porn is a condomless affair.
Yeah, well, I mean, because we're professionals, and so leave the unprotected sex to the professionals. No, I'm just kidding.
And the gay escorts.
And
correct.
You said full bush, no bush. That was in 2007.
Is it? Yeah. 2009, 2008.
That was for the masturbation videos, right?
Yeah, that was for that specific company.
Did you feel the rest of the movies were very no bush, get rid of it, no hair at all?
What did I... For most... Well, because hair is actually like a fetish. Like, they could market that as a fetish thing. So I was actually hired to do like a bush scene, and they're like, you need to grow it out. Because I always had like a little triangle or whatever. Porn, they like with all the lips are clean and stuff like that, but it's just like the triangle up on top. So I grew it out, and then like I accidentally, like I just shaved, like I wasn't paying attention. Like I was like, it was fucking like 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I gotta go do this scene, and I accidentally shaved it. And they're like, yeah, we can't shoot you.
Oh, you wasted it.
And it was like a 2 hour drive to, oh god, it was horrible. Yeah, so they have fetish stuff. Some girls do have hair, some girls don't. For the most part, if they do have hair, it's just like the triangle.
Yeah.
Because everyone blames porn for the eradication of pubic hair.
Yeah, it's funny because like the director that I did, he loves hair. Like my ex also, because they're older too. Like they were older guys, and like they grew up with Playboy, where women had hair on their pussies and stuff like that. And so that's what they like there. And now, yeah, a lot of guys. I mean, hair's coming back. It's making a little bit.
You think it's making a comeback?
I made it a comeback.
Me
that's
too.
That came up on stage last night. I made a joke about hair, and somebody said it's coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, bell bottoms and hairy pussies on the way back, man.
Bell bottoms are too. I was about to say I made it come back, but I never made it go away, so never mind. I like would keep it neat, but I also just am like, oh, it's, even that is a fucking effort.
It's an effort. When I was younger, like it was always like cut really short, like bald for the most, because I just thought that's what you did. It's not even from watching porn. I'm just like, oh, you shouldn't have hair there.
Yeah.
And then now that I have hair there, actually hair helps with sex, like especially for women. It actually like helps keep a lot of you know, your natural lube, and yeah, it's actually better for friction and stuff like that.
Yes, Katie learned that. A doctor told her.
From my gyno.
Yeah.
She said to have hair.
Yeah, it's hair also, is actually, it's there for a fucking reason, you guys.
It's also more pleasurable because of the hair follicles.
Correct.
Oh, no, I'm a hair lady.
Yeah, you're like, let's just keep it all.
She's a hair promoter.
Yeah. There we go. Good. High five.
So that, just because I feel like you let it slip, you escorted a bit too then, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
During your porn time?
Yeah, and after a little bit.
And what did you, was escorting for you, was it just spending time with them, or did you physically have sex, or did you just do little things?
Sometimes
or?
Both. Sometimes wow. both. Yeah. But
mostly when, sex though, right?
Yeah. It's like $1,000, $1,500, sometimes $2,000 an hour, depending on the person.
Oh my God.
Because you're a porn star.
Correct. Yeah, because I have the name recognition or whatever.
Like, it must be very freeing to be able... I personally can't, and I never will be able to...
Yeah, no, you have to definitely, like, have a different viewpoint.
Yeah, I have no judgment on anybody. Yeah. A lot of my friends are escorts, but I'm thinking, God, I would love... It must be very freeing to be able to go, I have no shame, I'm getting $2,000 an hour.
Yeah.
Oof, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, $10,000 a night, like, if I spend a night...
That is all my savings.
Yeah, I had a football player.
Feck. a football player as well. That's nice.
What were you doing? You were putting yourself up on a website.
Well, that's the thing is that like there are so many people that hire escorts, and like because even like there's these things called sex surrogates, which actually some insurance companies cover in some states, especially for like military veterans or like disabled people, you know, who can't go out and meet people or are socially awkward, but. Like sex, like it's healthy. Like we need to have it. Like it's part, like if it helps with depression, especially for men. Like if they don't masturbate, like you guys could die.
You know, I know, but I agree with you as well. I think I have like a little bit. And if you ask my close friends, they would say that's a lie. I have a lot more than a little bit of anxiety about certain things. Yeah. Like I overthink a lot. But I notice it happens when I forget to, if I go a week without masturbating. But if I'm like masturbating nearly every day, I'm like,
you gotta kind of.
My brain is good. Yeah, I think
helps.
Right. Sex
blood
helps.
Flow. You gotta do it.
Yeah.
So you're equating escort as anxiety relief.
Yeah, she's for a helper.
Some people, yeah, for some people, I mean, a lot of times too is just having an emotional connection, like just being able to talk to someone.
But did you do that? Did you go out with men who were like disabled and or were your clientele?
No,
maybe?
I did have one. Like he was extra older. I think he was like in his 80s, and it was like one time. I'm like, yeah, that's
you just weren't.
It wasn't into like so, a lot of the guys I've hired. Like I've been actually very attracted to. I'd be like, oh, you're actually like I've been very fortunate in that where they're like actually attractive and kind of hot.
But you had the credits. It's not like I could just walk into the and be all of a sudden be getting 10 grand a night. Like you were in the porn. You had the,
yeah. Yeah. So yeah, they picked me. Yeah, they. Yeah, I had like a booker.
They knew you'd be professional.
Oh, you had a booker, not a website.
No, I had. Yeah, I was kind of like underground with it. I didn't do.
You had like a Heidi Fleisch
kinda,
type?
Yeah. Yeah, except not a narc. So
high end?
Yeah.
Interesting. In Florida.
No, she's actually New York based. I also had a different one in LA.
All right. And then they organize like if you need to fly somewhere and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when did the escorting come? So you're the exotic dancer, you're the porn star.
Like I did that, I think it was like my first or second year into porn.
Okay.
Even like a little bit before when I was a dancer, I didn't realize that my girlfriends were escorts. Like they're just like, oh, well, we get a hotel room and then we tell these guys that we're going to give them massages for $300 and then we don't get them a massage. Or you can give them a massage. They're going to think that they're going to have sex. This is what they told me. I didn't realize that my girlfriends were actually fucking them. This is how dumb I was. It's like 18. So like the dude would be like, oh, I'm giving you a massage. He's like, anything else? I'm like, nope, that's escorting and that's illegal. Because I just thought it was like a ripoff scam. And I'm all about ripping off people. Like I thought that was fun. I was like 18, 19. I'm like, this is fun. Let's do that. Yeah, but they were actually doing that. So I was like a half-ass escorter, I guess.
But that's dangerous, no? Because then some guy.
Yeah, no, that was real dumb. Don't recommend doing that. I mean, and this is back in the day without the internet. Like we're putting out ads in newspapers and stuff like that. So. Jeez.
Oh, so you were like doing a back page.
It was
type
like
scenario.
Old school. Yeah.
Wait, that was school. That's not when you're 18 though. Your friends were doing that when you're 18. You didn't.
Yeah, yeah. They had the ads and stuff like that, kind of thing.
And did you find, sorry for all of this? So you're having sex escorting, and you're obviously having sex in porn. The sex you were doing before you got involved in this, like, did you go in there going, "Oh my god, I'm actually very vanilla," or were you always kind of a bit What's the word?
Exploratory.
Yeah, exploratory. No, I've always been kind of a freak.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that was always very. So that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, that was very. That's why it was easy for me to. Yeah. Like, for be like, let me try like this today.
For me, like, it'd be a huge jump. Like, yeah, I'm just learning stuff this year that I never even heard of before in my life. Yeah. So.
And definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you need to insert yourself into thinking about escorting. Yeah.
I won't. I already said I couldn't do it. That's 100%.
I think you should just be concerned about learning about it here, not thinking about yourself.
No, 100%. I never was, but I'm just wondering if she had been like a vanilla person, more vanilla person like me. Like, I'm just wondering, like, are you know, do people like if you had been, that would have been a huge learning.
Yeah, like I definitely learned some things, like about yourself and then like other people, like you know what people like and stuff like that. What you like. I learned a lot about what I like and what I don't like and stuff. So.
And what stopped you with the escorting? Same thing, just over it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I have a sugar daddy now, kind of a benefactor that I see like once or twice a month.
Oh, really? You still do?
Yeah.
Is that based
like almost 8 years? It's like a weird relationship. I don't know. My longest relationship is with a dude who pays me. So let's just leave it at that.
Was that a seeking arrangements one, or that was just from the old days?
No, that was from that. Yeah, like I said, like 8 years. But he wanted me to, like, he's the only person I see. Every once in a while, like, I have, like, there's this football player that I like, and he's, like, $10,000 a night, and he'll fly me out, and we'll hang out or whatever.
Huh.
Do you save all that money? You must have so much money.
Some of it, yeah. Well, I mean, would I got save it all. I paid for my psychology degree.
Of course. See, it's so expensive here to go to college. Yeah. You should have gotten it all and then went to no, it'd still be expensive for you. I forgot. Jesus.
And then I still need to go and get my PhD. I'm just, school is rough. Oh, God.
That's tough.
Yeah, so it's another, I guess, like 4 years.
I mean,
that,
before you go.
Okay.
I mean, again, with this debate that rages on about sex work, do you completely dismiss the argument of people that say that on some level you must be, you know,
broken?
Yeah, or that there's no way that you could do this unless that you were being exploited in some way. That there's a level of manipulation that perhaps is like subconscious that you're not aware of.
Oh, that's just ignorance to me. Like, I do. I think that's ignorance. Yeah, like there's some people that are like forced into it. Like, a lot of people confuse sex work with sex trafficking. And that is two completely different things. That there are like a lot of women, like New Zealand, sex work is legal there. You know, and everyone, like, it's government regulated, and women are like, they love it because they make more money, they get more free time to spend with their kids and do all this other stuff. And they're like, they're being exploited. It's like when you do a job, like if you're a doctor, right, and you're a surgeon, you have to have good hands, right? So that job, you're using your hands. Computer science, you're using your brain. Sex work, you're just using your pussy or your dick. Like, it's really, you're not. Construction workers use their whole body. Football players fucking get brain damage and stuff like that. They get brain damage. I may get gonorrhea. Like, it's just...
Do you think if prostitution was legal in the United States, you'd be able to charge $10,000?
Yeah, probably not so much. That's one of the... That's, like, I have a bit about it where it's like I wanted to make it legal because it needs to be, but at the same time, I'm like, my rate is going to go way down.
Because the taboo nature kind of jacks it up.
Yeah. Same with like.
So, are you believe in legalization?
Yeah, I mean, but I also think that they need to make like a lot of drugs legal too. Marijuana, mushrooms would be kind of cool. They just legalized recreational cocaine in Mexico, so I'm moving there next.
Wow. All right. Any other questions, Katie? I feel bad because I can't have the air conditioning on because we're recording.
Oh,
but
no,
I'm aware that it's a little sticky.
It's fine.
No, I've not. I think I...
Did I cover everything? You can always call me if you do have any questions. I do get random people to call and be like, is this real?
And hey, can I ask another stupid... I'm going to ask a really stupid question. I should really read the news.
Is
but is sex trafficking a huge thing in the States?
Not necessarily. Yeah. I mean, you have the Epstein thing. I mean, it's not anywhere... Like, it's not bigger anywhere else. Like, they do have sex trafficking here. But a lot of it also has to do with children and stuff like that. And they have these SESTA FOSTA laws where they got rid of this website called Backpage where a lot of escorts worked out of because there was sex trafficking on there. But a lot of times, those types of websites actually helped catch, like, pedophiles and sex traffickers. Like, some... Don't quote me on the percentage, but it was very high. It was, like, 58 or 68% of... The sex traffickers that were caught from those websites, and now those websites are down. So it's like, how are they catching them now? So there's like, they don't know what they're doing basically, and it's very confusing for them. And instead of like looking at other countries to model off of, which would make sense, you know, the United States has to do everything fucking the hard way.
Yeah, but then Ireland modeled itself off the Swedish model, which was.
Do they have legal sex work in Ireland?
No, it's illegal. But now they've.
Oh, you guys just actually got abortion legal in Ireland.
Last year. But no, in Ireland, they're looking, I believe it's the Swedish model where it's the buyer that's penalized.
Oh, so solicitation more than, got it. Okay. Yes. Yeah, here in the United, it's both of you. You get prostitution and then solicitation of prostitution whatever.
Two for one. Both are illegal. How did you feel about the Epstein thing? I mean,
that was... Weird, like, do I think that he actually killed himself or someone else?
Oh, wow.
Or just like him in general with the pedophile thing. That happens all, like, you look at Hollywood when I lived in Hollywood in LA and stuff like that. They do, like, a lot of rich people do a lot of really weird fucking shit. They are a different human to me. And I've had very, very rich clients and they live in their own little fucking worlds. And if some dude's like, I want to fuck a kid today. He'll go fuck a kid. Like, that's just the way that they are, unfortunately. When you have that type of money, you just think you can get away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so when you were in that world, Nothing surprises you, huh? In terms of the powerful people and the shit they get up.
No, not necessarily, I guess, surprised so much. Just more like, oh, that makes... Yeah, it's just like, oh, this is happening here. Or with this, like, I think if anything, it'd just be like the people more than the scenario, depending on who the person was or people. If that makes sense. Okay.
Wonderful.
She's like biting her cuticle.
No, my nose is blocked, so I'm just like breathing away from the microphone. And yes, actually, I was biting my... When people talk about rich people, because I never met... I guess I thought I met rich people until I moved over here. When I first moved over here...
Oh, especially in New York, though.
Well, I lived in Greenwich, Connecticut first, and I was working at a country club, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. It was the richest, whitest... Mm-hmm. The things I heard, I couldn't believe are coming out of people's mouth. Like, their thoughts that you maybe think... I would never think, but someone should keep the back of their fucking head and the behavior. And so that was like... As first time I'd met the rich of the rich, like the 1%, and I did not like working there.
A special breed.
So yeah, not like you said, it doesn't surprise. They just get whatever they want, whatever.
Pros and cons, though.
Pros and cons. Everyone.
They'll give you $2,000 for 1 hour.
Yeah, that's what they know.
Bad tippers, and when it's waitresses, though.
Extra $500 for anal.
Wow. Well, I'd be like, well, I wouldn't, because I'd be the worst. I'd be the worst porn star. I'd be the worst. Escort, they'd be like, I'm not really sure with the whole licking balls thing that gave me such a shock last
year.
You
never had them in your mouth, like just the whole.
Well, someone just said to me recently, they heard my joke on stage, and she was like, you know, you're meant to actually just push it in your mouth. And I'm like, I just don't know what I'm doing. When I was watching, I brought it up a bunch of times, I know, Des, but I was watching another episode of Outlander. The guy is having sex with a woman for the first time, and she said, just tell me what to do. And he's on top, and he goes, move your body with me. And I was like, holy fuck, I meant to move my body with them. Honestly, I've been giving out a lot of bad sex.
I'm sure you're probably naturally doing a lot of the things.
Yeah. I think so, but like then balls, I guess when
like
I think about it,
you know, like I'm having like two ice cubes in your mouth. They're just moving around.
Wow.
Yeah, you're not meant to put too much pressure. You don't want to hurt the guy.
Yeah, not too much. Just real light. You don't have to put them all like one at a time. Some are bigger than others. There's bigger sacks than others. Like
I would have been great in your Amazonian porn, actually. Yeah. I would, because that was
Oh, that was right. Yeah. That was the last question I wanted to ask you.
Oh, okay.
Since we have listeners that are going to be listening as curious about you.
Oh, God.
What should they go and look at? What's your greatest work?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's so old. Every time I do a podcast, my Pornhub shit goes up. Amazon was great. I like Amazon. I did a lot of really fun stuff with, like, Naughty America. It was a good company. Jules Jordan. I did that. If you're into other stuff, I've done some, like, Japanese rape fetish and some, like, psycho killer, like, snuff stuff if you're into.
Can we come back for a second? What is Japanese rape fetish?
So it's a Japanese company who hired me to do a rape fetish scene.
Oh, I thought you meant it was Japanese men raping you.
Yeah.
That's
literally what it is.
Okay. Yeah.
Fake
rape.
Not consensual rape.
If that's a thing.
Not real.
Yeah. Jesus. Okay.
Consensual rape.
Yeah. It is a thing. Not really.
It's, no.
No, but it is kind of.
An oxymoron, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like, yes, you can rape me.
For this scene, it's acting. In the way that Jodie Foster wasn't raped in The Accused.
Correct, correct.
But the performance was that she was being raped.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jeez. Yeah, it was actually because it was a Japanese dude and he was tiny and his dick wasn't that big. It was like average size. It wasn't that big, but he had a Japanese accent and like the things that he was saying, he's like, oh, rape you. I was laughing so hard that I was crying because sometimes when you laugh, it also kind of looks like you're crying. So like I managed to do that where they actually stopped to see if I was okay.
Aww.
And that just made me laugh even harder.
But at least they were checking in on you.
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm fine. And like I didn't want to like laugh in their face, but I'm like, no, I'm fine. And she's like, good actress. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just keeping
it. You just thought it was really funny?
I kind of want to check that out just out of curiosity. Hmm? I just want to see that just out of curiosity.
What's it called again?
It's like through a Japanese company. You may have check out some Japanese.
And was the penetration blurred out then on that?
Probably.
Pixelated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I worked for a Chinese company where like the camera had to be like 15 feet away from the bed and they actually measured it. They had to measure it.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. And then everything's just blurred out. It's so funny.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yes. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Do you want to plug yourself there? Because we never even said your last name.
Oh,
did we never get to that?
Aaliyah Janine.
Jesus, all these people are going to be looking for you. They don't. Well, in the intro, I've said your full name anyway.
Yes, Aaliyah Janine. And it's my real name. It's what I went by in porn. You can follow me on Twitter, the Aaliyah Janine. Instagram, Aaliyah.Janine. You can come check out my comedy shows. I do comedy now. My schedule's at AaliyahJanine.com.
And you have a Wikipedia page.
I do. Yeah, I have a Wikipedia page. I have an IMDb.
I read your wiki today.
I forgot about the Wikipedia page.
Well, go follow her, and we'll chat to everybody later.
Yeah.
Thank
Bye,
you
guys.
So much.
Love yous.
Well, thanks, everyone. Thanks, Aaliyah. Thank you, Katie. I am actually in Las Vegas right now. Quite a bit of time has passed since we recorded this episode. And just a bit of admin. As always, thanks everyone for feedback. We always appreciate it. In fact, I was thinking the last couple of days, I wish there was a way to be a little more interactive with people, you know? Like, I'd love to be able to do phone calls with people that listen to the podcast if they wanted to, like, share stories and stuff, like, live into the app. But I'm also aware that people would be like paranoid about that. But, you know, particularly for like stuff that's not too personal. You know, like, you know, just lighthearted stuff about, you know, celebrity gossip or what people think about different things that are going on. It would be nice to get like a call in. But certainly send us some messages. Send some DMs. Our next episode is going to be about monogamy and infidelity with Kate Sheeler, who you guys may remember from the last time I was in Las Vegas. So if anybody has any thoughts on that, not so much for the episode itself, which I'm recording on Thursday, but I'm recording the episode on Thursday. So if you have any questions about infidelity, monogamy, polyamorous relationships, can they work? Send it to my DMs, because Katie's not with me. Send it to my DMs on Instagram at Des Bishop, and I'll ask Kate her opinion about it. I myself listened to Esther Perel TED Talk about infidelity that Joanne McNally had turned me on to, and It's an interesting topic, so I'm looking forward to. I know that Kate has a lot of thoughts about it. She teed it up for me the last time we recorded the episode about hypnotherapy and all that, you know, and how the mind gets in the way of sexual pleasure. So, needless to say, that's coming up next week. So, any feedback, if you listen to this Wednesday, you do have time to send me a message. I'm way behind. I'm 8 hours behind Ireland, 3 hours behind New York. So plenty of time to get me a message if you're listening to this now. Also, I'm going to pick my five winners, five pairs of tickets to Vicker Street. I will send out a message in the next 48 hours to each of the winners. I'll announce the names next week. But the competition is now over, so no need to. Well, we want comments on iTunes and Spotify and CastBox and the Acast app and Stitcher. We want those comments and we want those 5 stars on iTunes. We do real bad. Swipe all the way down to past all the episodes, and that's where you'll find the ratings and reviews. We want those reviews. But as far as the competition goes, it's over for Vicker Street. However, if you go on my website, desbishop.net/tour dates, you'll see that I've got quite a few Irish tour dates coming up. And this competition is really only available for people in Ireland, because I kind of control my own shows more in Ireland than I do here. So if you're looking for some tickets to shows, some of them I might be able to do. So if you put up a comment and you let me know where you'd like tickets to shows, I might consider it. So that's just something to keep in mind as we try to get more promotion of the podcast.
So that's really it. Any feedback about the app you just listened to, do send that to me or Katie also. Exciting times coming up on the podcast. I go back to Ireland October 6th. I get there October 7th. Katie's going to be in Ireland with me for a while, so we're going to be doing loads of apps in Ireland. Katie's going to be opening up for me. Well, you know, she's going to be doing like some of the shows with me on the tour. She'll be in Cork. She'll be in Thurles County, Tipperary, wherever else I'm doing that weekend, which I think is actually Vicar Street. She'll be in Vicar Street. And there might be one or two other dates that I'm missing out on in terms of Katie being at the show. She's not going to be in Maynooth because she has to be at a wedding, which is one of the reasons why she's back in Ireland. So anyway, which is a pity because she's from Leixlip. So that's it, really. It's so funny. I'm recording this now, and, you know, I'm now about to edit the ep, just to give you a bit of timeline. I haven't actually edited the ep yet. And I can't remember if I recorded an outro with Katie. So this may actually be an outro after an outro, which would be very unorganized of me. But just for the record, just so you have a sense of time and place, I just did a show at the Comedy Cellar, and I have another show, 9 o'clock show. I did a 7 o'clock show. I was on stage at about 7:50. Got off stage at whatever 8:10, and ran up to my room. And now I'm doing this. 9 o'clock show starts in a few minutes, and I'll be running back down to do my spot, and then coming back up to finish this. So I'm a little all over the place. So I apologize. And that's it. We'll see you. We'll talk to you next week, next Wednesday. And until then, good evening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.